Welcome back, Darksiders. I hope you're all doing well. Since Halloween is just around the corner, I'm gonna assume most of you are. Either way, I'm here to take you on our weekly trip into the darkness. As we've learned with past episodes, YouTube has no shortage of sinister corners. Tonight, we're discovering yet another subgenre of darkness. And you may be surprised to hear it's coming from family vloggers. No, not Daddy05. Well, not yet, anyway. Instead, I'll be directing your attention to the Ace family. Unlike our other subjects, these guys are still going strong with over 18 million subscribers on their channel. So, what did they do to land on our radar? Well, grab your favorite vice and settle in, because there's a decent list of items on this agenda. All alleged, of course, but a small disclaimer. I usually make a half-sarcastic flex about binging a subject's entire catalog. That did not happen here. While I did make it through a lot, basic math is only one of the reasons it wasn't feasible for this round. Don't worry, we won't skip any of the important bits. We're just, trimming the fat. Before I introduce the ACE family, let me start with some quick info about family channels. In the early days of YouTube, they mostly consisted of potato-quality home videos. But, like everything else, they evolved into high-quality docuseries. And I'm exaggerating a lot less than you think. Some of these guys have been uploading since before the conception of their first child. When you spend so much time watching these kids grow, it can begin to feel like you really are part of their lives. You're literally right there for every birthday, holiday, lost tooth, all the good times, and even the bad. Oh yeah, the vast majority post the bad stuff too. You didn't think anything was off limits, did you? These wholesome videos appeal to a massive audience. There are those who relate to it with their own families, and those who find comfort in vicariously living their dreams through others. Together, they equal a huge financial opportunity, if you know how to market it. And the Ace family definitely understands that aspect. The Ace family's first year. This is the story of Austin McBroom, Catherine Pays, and the family they built together. Austin was born May 20th of 1992 and played NCAA basketball before beginning his career as a social media influencer. Catherine was born in Montreal on August 24th of 1990, speaks three languages, including French and Spanish, starred in a few Canadian movies before meeting Austin in 2015, and, well, you know, both were already maintaining large followings on their own, so it's really no surprise their channel grew at such an impressive rate. Oh, and if you're wondering why the hell they're called the Ace family, they renamed it in 2016 after the birth of their first daughter, Elle. A-C-E is a combination of their first initials. Originally, it was called Catherine and Austin Vlogs, but I'm not sure how many subscribers they had at that time. I can only tell you the first video currently available is from July 27th, 2016. And they reached 1 million subscribers on April 5th of 2017. 4 months later, they hit 2 million and kept growing. The picturesque couple began with the basics. They did pranks, Q&As, various challenges, and added a well-balanced diet of motivational speeches, self-care tutorials, and giveaways. Lots of giveaways, actually. You know, that's one of the reasons we're here. They started at a time when prank videos were at their peak, and unlike the bulk of prank skits, they didn't scream scripted. Well, most of them didn't. They rarely pulled elaborate stunts like fake car thefts. They usually stuck to the basics. There were cockroaches in the shower, fake lotto tickets, and they even uploaded a few failures for good measure. Well, if they scripted those, bravo, I mean, that is how it's done. Since family vlogs aren't really in my wheelhouse, I can't spend too much time comparing these guys to other channels, but I can tell you the Ace family excels in making their specific audience feel included. Every video starts with a loud, enthusiastic, "Hey, Ace family!" before explaining the day's plan, and despite being pre-recorded, everything said to the audience is phrased in the present tense. If the couple's shopping, They'll ask the audience for their opinion, and then carry on as if somebody actually answered. Likewise, if they have trouble with something, they'll ask the camera how it's done, and proceed as if given the answer. It's a very basic, yet effective technique for making fans feel included. These little touches can be surprisingly effective as a whole. Good God, I remember Blue's Clues and Dora the Explorer, but hey, that's a completely different fucking subject. Austin and Catherine established a reputation as a loving, Christian family, who enjoy nothing more than giving back to their loyal supporters. The first few giveaways were fairly straightforward. They asked fans to turn on notifications and interact with their posts for a chance to win small prizes. But soon, they graduated to bigger things. Basketball charity event. They brought in New Year's 2018 with 4 million subscribers and went on to gain an additional million each month through August, meaning they had over 6 million in March when they began advertising for their first basketball event, the winner of which would receive $100,000 to donate to charity. The plan was to open the event with a live performer, followed by a three-point contest, a one-on-one match, and a game of five-on-five for the big finale. Austin asked fans who they'd like to see him face for these challenges, and Rice Gum was chosen as the main challenger. If there's anybody who doesn't know who Rice Gum is, he's another big YouTuber surrounded by controversy. His name's become synonymous with clickbait, but this was 4 years ago, before the worst of his troubles. Ultimately, Glenn Travis opened the event. Keemstar, who also had his fair share of YouTube drama, hosted, and FaZe Rug was the YouTuber chosen for the three-point contest. I've never even heard this guy's name before. I honestly have no clue who he is, but, you know, today he's sitting pretty at almost 22 million subscribers, so, hey, that's cool. I mean, it's no surprise. It's practically a requirement to work with the Ace family, but, well, you'll discern that pattern for yourself soon enough. Anyway, the big event finally happened at the end of June, and there are a few fan uploads showing the full shindig, but the official Ace Family video covers less than 10 minutes by the time the intro ends. Well, to be fair, you don't really miss much. The game went well enough. The USC Stadium was packed, and though there was disappointment with how quickly tickets sold out, everybody seemed to have fun. But when Austin's team destroyed Rice Gum, they were presented with a check for only $75,000. And fans were quick to ask about the missing $25,000. Unfortunately, Austin and Catherine weren't quite so quick to provide an answer. The next upload came a few days later on July 5th. Austin begins by thanking fans for their support, before Catherine dives into the charity discussion. But she doesn't even mention the missing money. She simply states donating the full amount to a single charity would have the greatest impact. Which charity would be a surprise, but they plan to film the entire team making the donation together. On July 10th came a video titled, "It's Time We Get Away. Bye, be back soon." Was it a coincidence they scheduled a trip while fans were asking about the charity money? Who knows? Catherine does say it was planned last minute, but she also says that's normal for them. Considering everything else that's coming up, it honestly doesn't make much of a difference on the grand scale. The next update came at the end of July 17th's video when Austin finally announces the donation will take place the following day. Catherine says a few words, but there's still no acknowledgement of the missing funds. 2 days later, we got the Ace Family music video that wasn't released, which, I mean, it kind of sounds like it has nothing to do with the donation, right? I mean, honestly, I almost didn't click on it. But the first half was Austin and Catherine explaining the Thirst Project, an organization dedicated to providing drinkable water to countries in need. After which, it cuts to Austin at a dining room table with the guys in charge of the Thirst Project. Catherine and the team are nowhere to be seen. Austin provides a short intro and glimpse of the check before letting the professionals take over. Please do not get me wrong on this part. $75,000 is a huge contribution, and it seems to have gone to a genuinely great cause. I do not want to downplay that. The only issue here is why it was surrounded with so much deception, especially considering when you see this was the only first in a long line of, well, air quote, charitable donations. The only explanation happened in a September 3rd Q&A. Catherine said, quote, "Ace family members probably wouldn't ask this, but some may have wondered about it since the watchers keep bringing it up," and proceeded to half-jokingly explain Austin was talking out of his ass when he said 100K. Apparently, they threw the entire event alone and didn't understand how expensive such an undertaking would be. They're sorry, and now understand that they should have set a percentage instead of an actual amount. Their next upload was the 10 million subscriber special, where Austin surprised the family with a pimped-out ice cream / merch truck named Rebecca. It was painted bright orange, pink, and blue, but they didn't have time to do the inside yet. The notable thing here was the promise to ride around town meeting fans and giving away free merch, which did happen in their following video, but never again. There were also a fair few comments complaining about Rebecca's design, and that it was stolen from Urban Trademark. I'm not familiar with the man other than what I learned in this short controversy, but he has a very lovely family and appears to be a musician as well. The first incident actually happened roughly a year prior in the past. Austin had purchased and enjoyed headbands designed by Urban Trademark. According to the artist, Austin eventually reached out, and they met to discuss possible collaborations. The meeting went well. Austin bought a few more headbands, and there was a discussion involving Urban Trademark's customized ice cream truck. The idea was to drive around selling their exclusive headbands in person, and Austin seemed quite pleased with the whole thing. Almost a week later, the first headband designs were complete. Austin was extremely busy at the time, but said he'd be in touch. A few more days passed, and suddenly he was announcing his new headbands with no credit given to Urban Trademark. It sounded like the products were heavily influenced by the artist's designs, but not an identical copy. Allegedly. This was the first public accusation of Austin stealing from other creators to get real attention. But the Ace family branded Urban Trademark as a clout chaser and denied the claims. Though Austin did show himself to be somewhat of an impulsive asshole in the process, and it did cost them a few more subscribers. Ultimately, the artist accepted it as a hard lesson and moved on. But when Austin presented the ice cream truck, he felt he needed to speak up. I'm really only giving this a brief summary, but if you're real interested, I do highly recommend watching Urban Trademark's video. It's always best to hear information directly from the source, and he has the right to be heard. But now, we really should get back to discussing the actual video that we're talking about. There also was a contest announcement. Austin and Catherine planned to give away autographed basketballs from the charity event. To enter, you had to buy at least one item from the Ace Family merch store, though the more you purchase, the better your chances. Some considered this an unfair tactic when it's supposed to be a free giveaway, but what makes it stand out is the fact that this has happened before during a Jeep giveaway. The original method for entering the contest was to purchase a discounted Ace hat, but fans were not happy with that arrangement. In the next video, the couple apologized and agreed simply interacting with their social media would be enough. I guess they forgot about that. Oh, and at the end of the video, Austin films a short segment alone where he explains the difference between Ace Family members and Ace Family watchers. The difference is essentially fans versus haters, but it roughly translates to, if you're questioning us, you really aren't part of the family. Anywho, there's bigger, sleazier things going on the horizon. What's any exposure video worth its salt without controversial tweets? I don't know, because we don't really actually have those around here. It's kind of honestly barely a cliff note by comparison, but hey, I felt they deserved a mention. With their character in question since the tournament, the internet did its thing and certain interested parties started checking into the Ace family's past. Throughout July and August, people drew attention to a series of tweets made by Austin between 2011 and 2013 that were deemed racist and/or sexist, particularly towards African Americans, Asians, and women. I found a few on Google Images, and I would say racist and sexist are pretty fair descriptions, but I'll list a few examples so you can kind of formulate your own opinion. Quote, "Can't do black girls, because after I'm done, I'ma have to pay for their hair. Hashtag all bad." God, this man. Quote, "If you like them nice, ratchet, black with the cheeks without morals, the city of St. Louis..." I am disgusted reading these. Okay. Last one, quote, "Michigan black chicks make California black chicks look like beauty queens." Jesus fucking Christ. This, I swear to God. Why? Okay, on to the robbery. Oh yes, there's a chapter titled The Robbery. So, make of that what you will. But our next topic, the video from August 16th titled "Someone Broke Into Our House," is a personal favorite. This wasn't a shocking title for regular viewers. There are a couple others with break-in or trespasser clickbaits, but this time was different. The beginning is filmed on Austin's phone as the family stands in the street after a long day at Disney. They'd returned to find their patio door shattered and were now waiting for the police to finish searching the home. Once allowed back inside, they switch to the good camera and take us on what is supposedly their very first inspection of the damage. Needless to say, there's some, interesting details. Catherine's wallet, which had been left sitting out, wasn't touched. Elle's iPad, along with several other electronics, were likewise on full display, yet untouched. The downstairs was left fairly in order, but the upstairs was ransacked. As Austin approaches the busted door, one of the officers asks if he's filming for YouTube. Upon confirmation, he's introduced as an Ace family member and gives the camera a smile and a peace sign. Upstairs, their merch box has been dumped out, the YouTube diamond play button is laying on the floor, Catherine's coach purses, some of Elle's clothing, and Austin's bags have been stolen, but the jewelry was left behind. The only noteworthy item to be stolen was Austin's gun and the clips. Another officer then indicates a large kitchen knife had been left behind, which meant the burglar brought it upstairs with the intention on using it on anyone who interfered. Ultimately, the material items were deemed worthless, and it's made clear they only valued one another. Well, a beautiful sentiment. Once the police are gone, Catherine and Elle return home with Austin's mother while he remains at the house with friends until the broken door can be boarded shut. During this time, he films an important message that some consider to be a prime example of him gaslighting their fans. Anyway, we see a different side to Austin in his monologue. He's suddenly seated and somber as the shock of reality sets in, and he's ready to come clean with the Ace family. There's been a lot going on that he and Catherine have kept quiet, but they can't remain silent any longer, especially since they're currently expecting their second child. That wasn't a surprise bombshell or anything. Catherine actually fairly was far along at this point, but it wasn't really relevant to our story until they used it as like a sympathy fuel. He begins by clarifying genuine Ace family members would not behave this way. He's not addressing them, but they need to know that every single day, fans come over to take pictures and shout in hopes that somebody will come outside. Clearly, this behavior is not okay, but it is typical for famous people when their address is known. The more popular they become, the harder it is to record in public. And soon, they couldn't even film in their yard without random people interfering. Before long, they were trapped inside and fearful of being seen through the windows. Well, now things had gone too far, and it was time to stop before something truly terrible happened. The break-in video was shared far and wide, and a flood of both criticism and support came in like a tidal wave. The sudden turn of events seemed to distract many fans from the questions Austin and Catherine had been adamantly avoiding. But others weren't so easily swayed. Next thing you know, people are saying they faked the entire robbery. Not me. I'm not saying that. But I understand why others say it looked that way. I mean, first and foremost, I want to state real cops were called at some point, as there does seem to be an official police report. The dispute is solely regarding who was responsible for the damage. Random criminals? Or someone following the Ace family's instructions? I mean, that's for you to decide. The biggest thing for me is the supposed entry point. The door's glass was only broken out at the bottom. I don't understand how anyone, especially an assumed adult, would crawl under there at all, let alone not disturb the giant pile of shattered glass. At the very least, you should take a peek at the image for yourself. Many found it odd the family would immediately begin filming such a tragic event as if it were genuine, and then posing for the thumbnail didn't help. Austin held their daughter to one side of the broken door while Catherine stood on the other, both sadly staring at the pile of glass while Elle's small hand covered her face. Heartbreaking. Next, there's the abundance of valuables left behind. Did the crooks go straight upstairs and therefore miss the goodies on the first floor? What about Catherine's jewelry? Were they avoiding items that could be traced? Probably shouldn't have taken the gun then. I mean, was a crazed fan there for fantasy over profit? Well, If that were the case, I feel like they would have taken the diamond play button. The only valid reason to leave that puppy behind is how incriminating it would be to have it. The officer who gave the camera a smile ended up having a doppelganger who worked at an establishment called Top Cop Shop LA. As it would turn out, this place rents out police actors. Someone posing to be a financial advisor for Austin emailed the company to request a receipt. And it actually worked. Well, supposedly, but that person put a copy online and it claimed the Ace family spent almost $5,000 on 5 fake squad cars and 6 actors. I understand this next one could technically be a coincidence, but can anyone name an instance of seeing a video with police presence but not hearing their radios go off? Because they didn't make a single peep in this one. There are other speculations concerning the overall behavior of the police, but I've never been involved in anything like this. Well, frankly, I just don't really want to give those observations too much weight. Well, at the very least, I think we have enough to instill some reasonable doubt. But let's take a look at their defense before settling on a final opinion. Austin and Catherine's response was filmed from a new home, uploaded August 24th, and an unaptly titled, Saying Goodbye. There's absolutely no reason for that title. I mean, what did they say goodbye to? The old house? Tons of people commented they were relieved the family wasn't quitting YouTube. I mean, like, they genuinely did not understand that that's what they were meant to think. Sometimes reading the comments feels like watching a victim apologize to their gaslighter, and it just really gets kind of depressing, to be honest. Anyway, the couple stated that they were too frightened to remain in the other mansion, so they found new accommodations. Oh, quick side note. I was unable to pinpoint exactly where in the timeline fans made the discovery, but this is the perfect place to squeeze it in. The huge mansion they'd been flexing, it was a lease. A lease that cost $17,000 a month. That's pretty pricey for people selling themselves as being a, quote, down-to-earth family. Okay, whatever. Back to the video. They discussed the various break-in allegations, but none of the issues leading up to it. Obviously, they cried, denying everything, and they were devastated by the audacity of these accusations. Austin didn't change clothes for 3 days and lost so much weight, Catherine almost cried. Though whatever weight he lost must have been regained before this video, because honestly, I mean, I couldn't actively see a difference, but the camera, I guess, adds 10 pounds or something, so I don't know, it doesn't fucking matter. Look, I'm sorry, I'm trying to be fair to both sides, but these guys make it kind of difficult. You know what? Let's list this baby out so we can just get to the next basketball event. Oh yeah, there's another one. And I love that you're thinking that they probably just shorted the check again, because it's actually a lot worse than that. The whole why would anyone film this in the first place mystery seems to have two answers. First, Austin explains that they've been having trouble with fans coming to their house like it's a museum. Over time, they became trapped indoors, afraid to even walk past a window, and something had to give. Well, apparently they were originally filming for a documentary about the various antics they endured because of their fame, including one, quote, very serious incident. They decided not to reveal for fear of the fans' safety. You know, because they're such good people. But when the robbery happened, well, you know, it was clearly a sign. They needed to tell everyone what was really going on before it was too late. And this was their chance. Catherine also added a few sentiments on how they weren't necessarily recording with the intention of uploading to the channel, but just to have evidence of the event. It wasn't until they were back downstairs, looking at the busted door yet again, that they discussed the possibility of uploading the content. Of course, as longtime YouTubers, they immediately realized they were already standing before the perfect thumbnail. They handed the camera to a friend. Elle was tired and didn't feel like having her picture taken, so she covered her face, took a half a second to snap the picture. I mean, end of story, right? It was utterly absurd to think otherwise. As for the unusual list of missing items, or, you know, lack thereof, they subscribed to the theory that anything traceable was left behind purposely. They also said many of the missing items were noticed after filming. They didn't give any examples. It was kind of more of an FYI. The worst part's probably that, after they made all of these points, Catherine, still crying, uses them to transition into her next topic. She never clarifies what, quote, crazy rumors she's referring to, but anyone watching knew exactly what she meant. She flipped the narrative to sound like all the previous issues were simply haters spreading horrible lies. It's something you have to see for yourself in order to truly understand how manipulative it can come across. Society reacts a certain way to attractive females crying. It just does, and it feels like she's using that to her full advantage. Three-pointer contest. Aside from a couple of episodes showing Austin traveling to Africa, the rest of the year is mostly dedicated to Aliyah's birth. But they kick off 2019 with a shiny new phallic-shaped sucker. Austin took Catherine's very young sister into a Spencer's gift store, which, as you're probably aware, largely consists of adult novelty items, like, you know, sex stuff. Like, I'm saying they have sex stuff. It's not the only thing they sell, but, you know. It's like half the store. I'm also probably the worst person to guess a child's age, but honestly, she appears to be in, like, maybe the 4 to 6 range. And a rainbow, phallic-shaped lollipop caught her eye. And not only did Austin buy it for her, but he filmed it? Including the part where she, like, you know, actually ate it, but, like, he actually didn't have a choice, you know? The kid forced his hand by threatening to steal it. Look, he was clearly joking, but nobody found it funny. Well, almost no one. I mean, there's always a few outliers, but with so many more controversies close behind, this one became just another notch in his cringe belt. This was also the month they announced the next big giveaway, a basketball contest. Whoever could make 10 three-pointers in a row would win $100,000. Oops, they set an amount instead of a percentage again. Good thing the amount isn't the problem this time. The contest was announced on January 6th, and there were no ticket sales. This was a private event, probably because they already knew how it would end. But we'll never know for sure. Austin read the rules from a typed Word document that seemed pretty official-looking. Surely for convenience and not to make fans assume that some kind of official rules were in play, The family planned to pick 20 contestants, and the shooting order was to be determined by drawing players' names from a hat. If no one made the 10 shots on their first attempt, the game would continue until somebody won. But the max time limit would be set to 5 hours. All ages and genders welcome. Once the contest is explained, Austin reminds the audience to comment if they think they can do it, or to tag celebrities and YouTubers. That right there should have been one big-ass red flag. Don't forget the entire point of this revolved around the concept of giving the money to someone in need. Not only that, but the actual event was set to take place only 5 days after this announcement. That's not really a lot of time to coordinate 20 regular people, let alone celebrities. But somehow, the Ace family pulled it off. Fans across the world were simultaneously disappointed to learn the competition was not for them, after all. Shit, it wasn't even a skewed split. It was like a straight-up YouTuber competition. Okay, there were a few celebrities, too, but, like, they really didn't need the money, so that's even worse? I'm not gonna list all 20 contestants, but as you listen to these names, well, Jake Paul was first up on the roster, followed by King Bach, Rice Gum, Soulja Boy. I mean, for fuck's sakes, he got Nick Cannon and Logan Paul, too. Like, they're all fucking loaded. Though, I guess that's a moot point, considering that none of them won. After playing for roughly an hour and a half, Austin called down an old college friend to take a turn. And his buddy just happened to be a semi-professional basketball player, who immediately won. Austin made a big deal out of how wonderfully the coincidence worked out. Everyone had been complaining the winner wouldn't need the money, but now, lo and behold, I mean, regular Joe wins! The money would supposedly allow him to move out of his parents' house, and he even agreed to donate a portion to charity. Let's ignore how unlikely it would be for these circumstances to develop naturally, and just skip to the part where fans learn the friend is also the son of a millionaire. People were pissed. How were they supposed to know which parts, if any of it, was real? Once again, they felt scammed. How much more did the Ace family expect them to take? Regardless, the worst? The worst is yet to come. The Ace Club. This part got a little tricky, so bear with me. The first time I heard the app mentioned was January 2019, but it could easily predate that. It's hard to tell when there are so many random fillers like, "Elle does mommy's makeup," to sift through. You genuinely never know what these guys are going to bring up or, well, even when. Anyway, the Ace Family app came first. And immediately upon flaming out, there came the Ace Club website. They can be confusing since the complaints are almost identical, and this ordeal goes on for over a year. I genuinely had difficulty separating them, so I just thought it was best to cover them together. From what I can tell, it seems they started mentioning the app in early mid-2018. The purpose was to provide exclusive content like short clips, wallpapers, merch, even the ability to have the Ace Family mail you a birthday card. And more. And the fans were hyped for it. Until October 6th, when they announced a $2.99 monthly membership fee. Catherine's tweet even ended with, "If you're unable to be a member, no worries, you can still watch us on YouTube." Given their habit of deleting negative comments when possible, I'm surprised she didn't delete the entire tweet. There's maybe one positive response for every 4 to 5 complaints. Most felt the app shouldn't have been advertised as free, only to announce the price at launch. Responses from those who tried to join anyway had an even rougher go of things. One states the customer tried to make a $30 purchase, but when they never received a confirmation email, they tried again later, only to be charged twice. That actually happened to quite a few customers, along with an ongoing problem where in-app purchases were charged but never delivered. There were also people who later canceled their memberships only to continue paying, and obviously not everybody realized this right away. The only real difference between the Ace app and Club was cost. The Club was $20 a month. It included livestream perks, plus the smallest giveaway was $10,000 cash, and the prizes went all the way up to a new house, college tuition, or even fertility treatments. There are plenty more, but I think I've made my point. Again, it doesn't matter because the site never worked properly. After months of this thing charging people, they finally deleted it. And Austin, once again apologizing solo, made a video that's less of an apology and more about blaming the developers. I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically explains the app wasn't built as well as it should be, and they're extremely upset. Those bad developers scammed the Ace Family. There's one soundbite in particular every reaction video loves to grab. Quote, "They just weren't good partners. They ended up, unfortunately, scamming us, and it kind of, like, hurt us in a way, because in reality, like, you guys got scammed." Austin claims everyone was reimbursed, but they don't have the best record in that department, so I'm a bit skeptical, especially since so many fans flocked to the review pages disputing that claim. Let's pretend they were really somehow as much of a victim as the fans. It's hard, I know, but try. Would you immediately want to give them more money for essentially the same product just because he hyped up a new developer? There's clearly a lot of red flags here, but the biggest comes from the fact that Austin is explaining these things 6 months after the fact. So why is he suddenly going on about it? Well, it certainly wasn't because of the scammer allegations. Those are just another day at the office. No. They had to mention it as an opening to advertise another new site. I'll make a brief mention of the accusations from October of 2019 that genuinely appear to be false. I don't want to say that, like, definitively. There's obviously no way to know how much is false or even if some parts are true. Cole Kerrigan was a fairly large internet personality, but he seems to have taken a step back since this controversy. I don't relish the thought of further spreading false information, but you can find every detail simply by searching Cole's name with Ace Family. He made a video accusing Austin, his father, and a few employees of sexually assaulting Cole's friend after one of the Ace Family events. He went into painfully specific detail and even included a photo of bloodied bedsheets. Afterwards, Cole's video was picked apart, and the woman who was supposedly attacked went on to release messages between herself and Cole that made it seem like Kerrigan was far more concerned with being paid off than finding any form of justice. Many interpreted the full conversation to mean the situation was greatly exaggerated, specifically to extort money from the Ace Family. There is a prime example of why we, as a society, should be more careful when hearing this kind of information. Granted, the Ace family, especially Austin, come across as greedy, money-hungry, self-centered assholes who don't really give a damn about their fans, but that doesn't mean every bad thing we hear is true. Again, I don't know what happened, but those are the kind of accusations that ruin multiple lives. Speaking of gossip, this may be the best place to discuss the cheating allegations against Austin. Or rather, not discuss them. The only reason I'm mentioning it all is because, yes, they are selling themselves as this wholesome family channel, so it does factor into that image. Otherwise, I believe it's none of our business, as that's an extremely personal aspect of their lives, and it has absolutely nothing to do with these multiple scam allegations. If you search Austin McBroom cheating rumors, you are met with several short videos, including testimony from women involved. And I believe there is a potato-quality clip that catches him red-handed. You're welcome to view those at your discretion, but otherwise, I reiterate again, it's none of our business. That's a personal aspect of their lives. How I become a millionaire. Now it's time to start talking about the first business flops. I mentioned the Ace Merchant hats, but this is a little different. There have been multiple ventures where they create their own product, plaster it on every platform, and the second orders start arriving, a new parade of negative reviews arise. First, there was Silly Juice. It's just a kid's fruit drink. A great value Capri Sun without the fun pouch. And a not-so-generous helping of mold. Yeah. They couldn't handle the administrative duties, and the customers who did receive their product mostly wish they hadn't. Aside from those who receive moldy bottles, there's one instance where a bottle was drained completely. They aren't cheap, either. A 12-pack of tiny bottles is said to be over $20. By now, it won't surprise you to hear the customer service was reportedly terrible as well, but Silly Juice isn't even really our focus in this section. We're actually here to discuss Austin's How I Became a Millionaire lessons. You know those ads where some guru flexes about living their best life and then they put a bunch of fancy houses and cars in the background and insinuate that they own it all? Yeah. Then, you know, when they think you're good and jealous, they reveal you too can have everything if you just buy their lesson plan. For those who have never delved deeper into the world, it's a scam. There are no guaranteed get-rich-quick schemes. And if there were, I mean, we'd all be rich. Duh. But the very young crowd who make up the bulk of Ace Family fans don't seem to know that yet. They only know Austin and Catherine managed to pull in millions of subs in a seemingly short time. No one ever factors in that they had a fair amount of followers before that first Q&A on their channel. I mean, think about it. Can you name any YouTuber whose very first video was a Q&A? Of course not. You need an audience to ask these questions. Sorry. Now my tangents are backtracking. Fuck. So, in February of 2021, Austin announced his grand lesson plan. The program would involve four courses. How to grow your social media platforms. How to make money on social media. How to start a business. How to grow your business. Which, fine, I mean, he clearly mastered the first two, but each of his business ventures have ended terribly, including this one and everything that came after it. I don't fully understand how the pricing was supposed to work here, but before I dive into it, just know that this website didn't actually work right either. It had all of the same problems as ASAP and Club, so that was a challenge unto itself for any interested parties. Several YouTubers tried to sign up for the courses in order to make exposure videos, but they couldn't gain access. The best information comes from Sloan, who was able to acquire screenshots from some of his fans. I found this guy's coverage to be the best as a whole, so he could really be at the top of your list if you choose to seek more information later. Like Patreon, the website had different membership tiers. The courses came with the silver level for $8 a month and absolutely nothing else. Or you could get the gold for a mere $50 per month and get a bunch of random perks to go with them. I mean, who wouldn't want exclusive live streams and a chance to FaceTime with the Ace family? There's a couple of others, but I'd like to know how many fans they actually called and how long they talked. If there were any. The intro video was also a little confusing. Austin says, you only have 24 hours to sign up. Now I know that's a standard tactic. Put people on a time limit, don't let them overthink. But it was actually true on this one. There were people trying to sign up, but they missed the enrollment period and were forced to wait over a month before their next chance. When you add that to the problem of it declining people's cards, this is a really freaking hard course to get into. Oh, I wonder if they did it that way on purpose, so it would be equally difficult to cancel. You think? Oh, maybe that's a stretch. I don't know. Like all get-rich-quick schemes, this one fell incredibly short of the mark. The lessons were filled with a combination of Austin flexing his wealth and common sense information you can find online for free. When they finally acknowledged the site glitches, it was only to blame the high volume of traffic and assure everyone it would be fixed soon. But it really wasn't. Social Gloves, Part 1. Now, next we're back on one of the big ones. Shortly after the becoming a millionaire lessons, Austin was ready to announce the next big event, a boxing tournament. The concept was for YouTubers to face off against TikTokers, with Austin fighting Bryce Hall as the main event. Now, if you don't know who Bryce is, that's fine. You just need to know that he's incredibly popular on TikTok. Now, the fights took place on June 12, 2021, but Austin was promoting it for months beforehand. No paid promotions, though, just word of mouth. I don't know anything about the world of advertising before this, but apparently it's like a really bad move to skimp on paid advertisement. Like, not allowing the event onto satellite or cable kind of bad. Like, thank God he wasn't that ignorant, right? I mean, oh, well, shit. He was. Okay, well, I hope that doesn't cause problems for everybody involved. I mean, yeah, I'm just kidding. This is actually the biggest disaster yet. So, on the surface, it seemed like a great idea. Each of these contestants had huge followings, and even the haters wanted to watch purely for a chance to see someone get their ass kicked. Honestly, I wanted to watch just to see if Austin got some sense knocked into him. Throwing an event like this is a massive undertaking. That's why there's an entire company dedicated to handling them most of the time. Someone has to coordinate the fighters and negotiate each of their contracts. I mean, Bryce Hall alone was guaranteed $5 million regardless of winning or losing, and I'm sure the rest were not cheap. This can usually be handled by the production company who actually hosts the event. In this instance, that company was Social Gloves. Then you need someone who can handle the other side of things, such as live streaming and pay-per-view sales, which, again, were only available online, not cable or satellite. LiveX Live was ultimately chosen for that honor. The ticket and pay-per-view sales were nowhere near what was originally estimated, which created two major problems. Okay, the first is actually kind of hilarious. DJ Khalid, who clearly must have cost a pretty penny, was hired to open the event, but he was met with near silence as he, well, tried to hype up a very small crowd. Oh god, I can't even imagine how awkward that had to be. Unfortunately, it also meant there wasn't enough money to pay all the participants, and that would come back to do some serious damage. The actual tournament went well enough. At least there were no serious injuries, which is always nice, but at the end, Austin McBroom stood victorious as the winner of $1 million. Crazy how he keeps winning his own events, isn't it? I mean, no one really complained too much since the money was technically coming from Social Glove, but, well, you'll see. When Austin gets these big names to participate in his event, he does it for their fan base. That's a solid strategy. There's many influencers who move up in the world thanks to relationships with the right people, but if you have a proclivity for being shady, that tactic can bite you in the ass super fast. The problem, utilizing another's audience, is, well, if you screw them over, the hate will flow 10 times stronger and harder than the love ever did. You won't be able to post anything anywhere without constantly and instantly coming under fire. When time passed without so many fighters being paid, they started speaking out against the event. Lawyers are involved, the internet started digging, and the more they revealed, the more it looked like the end of Austin's career. Word of the poor ticket and pay-per-view sales spread, and there was even a rumor Social Gloves was bankrupt as a result. It looked like there physically wasn't any money left to pay the fighters, but Austin was quick to dispute everything. He made a post denying the claim only 100,000 people watched the tournament on pay-per-view. Apparently only haters are saying that. And he added, quote, "Well, we all know Social Gloves put on one of the biggest social media events in history. The real numbers will come out soon. Just know Social Gloves weren't the only ones who collected PPV numbers and purchases. Don't forget how you watched it." He even added a zipped lips emoji behind it. He's saying LiveX Live is at fault without saying they're at fault. Let's see if that accusation holds any weight. In a later interview, Austin explained Social Gloves is not bankrupt and LiveX Live is simply refusing to part with the money. In fact, Social Gloves is suing LiveX Live. He also clarifies the fighters merely haven't been paid yet, including himself. Notice he's once again assuming the role of a victim. Yeah, we kind of catching on here? By his estimation, there were at least 20,000 people at the gate, and those sales earned $3 to $4 million alone. Plus, everyone's saying different numbers for the pay-per-view sales, so clearly nobody knows the truth. Basically, Austin is sending a very clear message. LiveX Live is scamming everybody. Are they, though? Well, I don't know anything about the company itself, but I learned a little about their part in this situation. And, at the very least, they're looking to be the lesser of two evils. If one were to look a bit deeper into Social Gloves, they would learn the trademark registration says it belongs to Ace Hat Collection. Which, if you hop over to their registration, shows Austin McBroom as the CEO. So that means he was actually trying to say he was suing LiveX Live in that interview. This interview didn't relieve much pressure considering multiple lawsuits were hitting Austin from the various unpaid vendors and fighters. Even a car rental company sued him for the lack of payment. This dude stiffed almost everybody. There were a few YouTube fighters who weren't complaining, which leads one to believe, well, they were paid. I mean, that's pretty damning unto itself. Especially when you hear Austin denied owning Social Gloves when initially recruiting fighters. But let's take a look at what the CEO of LiveX Live, Robert Ellen, had to say about the allegations. On August 12th, he did an interview on the Tom Ward Show, and I found it fascinating. Robert was calm and composed as he explained everything from the event's conception to its execution. He clarifies the event wasn't quite as successful as Austin would like everybody to believe. There was a profit, but not enough to pay everyone what they were promised. Apparently, contracts have this thing called the waterfall that determines what order everyone is paid in. If Austin put himself in the first slot, he would essentially keep all of the money. Since LiveX Live countersued for $100 million, Robert wasn't allowed to discuss any of the actual litigation, but that didn't stop him from letting everybody know what really happened behind the scenes. The lawsuit was ultimately settled at the end of the year, when LiveX Live paid Austin the $3 million of the proceeds, but the damage to his reputation was done. Tesla giveaway. This next part stretched down over a longer period of time, but probably fits here best. As you know, the Ace family loves to give back, but I haven't mentioned their three Tesla giveaways. I couldn't find the actual videos, so they've either been taken down or discussed in like a random episode, but I think we can manage. They had their basic list of requirements to enter. Fans were expected to like, share, and follow, while also tagging other friends to do the same. But this time, the fine print was on another level. Not only was the winner responsible for transporting the prize to its final destination, they would also be responsible for paying the car's monthly note and taxes. That's expensive, even when you're not talking about a frickin' Tesla. The winner only had 12 hours to respond upon notification or they would forfeit the prize. And if you did lose the prize, regardless of why, they would still own the rights to use your profile, your username, your picture, your hometown for advertising. Yeah. The first winner was later seen at multiple Ace events, including the practically empty boxing tournament, which leads people to believe that she's somehow connected to the family in a way, and may have been a, well, quotation, fake winner. This theory, she doesn't have the car, is reinforced by the lack of Tesla photos on her social media. Likewise, the second and third winners also lacked any signs of the prize on their Instagrams, and they had several comments asking if they received it, but no answers were ever given. Around December of last year, the Ace family did post a few pictures where a supposed winner posed next to a Tesla, but who knows how legitimate it is. Fortunately, with this debacle finished, we can officially leave 2021 behind. 1212 Gateway. Between silly juice and lessons to become a millionaire, we've seen some of the failed Ace family businesses in action, but they all had one thing in common. Austin ran them. 1212 Gateway was Catherine's skincare company, and Being known as the more level-headed, business-savvy half of the couple, lots of fans were excited to try the products until they actually arrived. Much like the Silly Juice, products arrived damaged, wrong, or with pieces just outright missing, and there was no customer service to be had. Soon, angry posts flooded every platform yet again. The sad thing is, it sounds like this one may have had potential. From what I can gather, the product itself wasn't too bad, unlike the reviews for Silly Juice. At the very least, they could have failed with grace instead of kicking off yet another scandal. TBL Cosmetics was the parent company of 1212 Gateway, and Catherine's business partner. But they ended up suing her due to her part in the venture's failure. When the deal was originally made, it was agreed TBL would handle the actual administrative duties while Catherine would be the public face and promoter. Well, it sounds pretty, you know, like a real good plan, right? I mean, come on, each party does what they're best at, both win. That probably would have worked. Unfortunately, two major things have happened almost simultaneously. First, positive responses to the promotion began pouring in, and second, Catherine changed her mind. According to the TBL lawsuit, she logged into every 1212 Gateway account and changed all of the passwords, effectively cutting off TBL's access. I don't quite understand her logic behind this, to be honest, but it seems like her intention was to run the business by herself. This resulted in Catherine and TBL each blaming the other for the problems in shipping and customer service. At one point, Catherine even brought in Austin's dad to help with the business and stopped attending board meetings. She opted to send a representative in her place. She had no interest in working with TBL, only finding ways to get rid of them. With these delays and lawyer fees, TBL calculated the loss of revenue at $16.5 million, all because someone wanted to work alone. Obviously, these details should be taken with a grain of salt. At the end of the day, the statements made by each party are still hearsay, but given the Ace family's pattern of how they handle business ventures, well, I don't know. At the very least, it lines up with their past behavior. These issues were enough to make a scandal, but it continued to get worse. Catherine had promoted this product as one she personally helped design, but it turned out to be a copy of another indie skincare line. So, yeah, just a typical day in the life of an Ace family member. Yet somehow they just keep on trucking. Gambling promotions. I know the morality of gambling can be a touchy subject for some people, but regardless which side you fall on, I think most can agree it shouldn't be marketed to children, especially when it's disguised as a game and introduced by a celebrity they idolize. Some of you may remember the mystery box trend from 2018, when everyone was selling random stuff in boxes. Some of the themed mail order subscriptions turned out to be pretty cool, but the gambling sites? Not so much. Several influencers received backlash for promoting them, including Rice Gum, Jake Paul, and other equally big names, but as always, they apologized. And the drama eventually became old news, until earlier this year when the Ace family decided to give a whirl with a company called Ludi. Now, if you caught the Dark Side of Gaming's Trevor McSkillet episode, you may remember a similar situation with the CSGO's loot crates, except the mystery box could contain almost anything. The idea was to purchase a digital mystery box, and as Catherine explained, you can get items up to 95% off. She said this in a voiceover as they scrolled through Ludi's catalog of possible prizes. There are shoes, houses, cars, electronics, clothes, everything. And it had free worldwide shipping. Of course, different prizes came with different odds of winning, and Ludi offered multiple mystery box options. If you wanted to pay a little more money, you'd receive a better odd of winning a higher valued item. Oh, and each prize was assigned an actual dollar amount. So let's say you buy a $20 box. You win a stereo valued at $40. You can either have that stereo, or you can sell it back to Ludi for $40. Which means you've actually made a profit by playing. Yeah, that's gambling. Just to be clear, that is gambling, folks. The fact Austin and Catherine advertised this to their young audience isn't the whole problem. It's not like they did a quick promo in their unrelated video. They actually played on the site, and they had a very lucky run. So lucky that some would speculate the game was rigged in order to bring in more players. In fact, you can Google footage of the couple reacting to their wins and losses in front of a priceless screen. Well, that part was edited in later. Again, allegedly. You can also easily find several screenshots of fans stating how much they lost and imploring others not to try. Austin and Catherine never even told them they needed to be over 18 to play, and the only thing you had to do in order to prove your age was check a box. The worthless prizes, such as 10-cent Ludi gift cards, were up to 60% more likely to appear, while any valuables were closer to 1% or less. Ludi had the chances listed in the fine print. Yet when the Ace family played, they won 2 out of 3 times with a PS5 and an iPhone. What kid isn't going to watch them win all these fancy prizes and then make money while they're doing it? I mean, why wouldn't they want to immediately try that for themselves? Ace Family Fest. Just when you think these guys have done it all, they hit you with something new. This year, the Ace family decided to throw their own festival. It was advertised as Coachella meets Disney. They promised great rides, food, and even a chance to meet the family up close and personal. Because for some reason, there are still people who wanted to do that. I don't know. Anyway, the event took place on July 11th of this year, and it was covered on the family's channel with a whopping 11-minute video filled with smiling faces and adoring fans. Luckily for us, other YouTubers were there to give us the real story. Those who advertised their intent to go were stopped at the gate. But our boy Atozi kept his head down, paid the absurd ticket cost, and got us inside. Whatever you're imagining, the truth is probably worse. Originally, the Family Fest website advertised things such as free parking, live music, and a petting zoo. But on the actual days leading up to the list, it was actually revised to exclude the animals and music. Immediately upon arrival, Atozi was forced to pay for parking. But given the family's reputation, that's a fairly minor offense. Oh, and another important note? This festival is taking place in the hot California sun without a single cloud for shade. How only one person collapsed from heat exhaustion, I'll never understand. The ticket cost was $120 per person. Yikes. Literally nothing was free, by the way. Even the water cost $2 a bottle. And these people were roasting in the sun. I mean, of course they needed water. The people Atozi spoke to at the event were all in agreement. They did not feel like it was worth their money. The festival itself consisted of a few cheap fair attractions, food trucks, a bar, and the Ace family meet and greet, which also cost an additional fee. The family was originally set up in a pavilion, but when one of the fans collapsed from the 97-degree heat, it was moved indoors for the air conditioning. Overall, it sounded like a pretty miserable experience. The only positive review came from a teen who agreed the event was indeed worth his money. That same young man also later commented he snuck in for free and only lied because he assumed Atozi worked for the Ace family, so yeah, that was fun. Social Gloves Part 2. Okay, guys, we're finally here. The big finale. The most recent drama. I'm sure something else probably is going to be like right behind it, but for now, this is all she wrote. Just last June, Social Gloves 2 was announced. This time, Austin would be fighting Anison Gibbs, a big influencer from the UK, and it was scheduled for July 30th. Though it would ultimately be postponed since they tried to put the entire event together in a mere 7 weeks. To be fair, the date was not the only change. There were originally 8 influencers announced for the fight, but by the end, that number was down to 6. The venue would also be changed from the Crypto Arena to the smaller Bank of California Stadium. The official excuse for postponing the fight stated Gibbs required additional medical exams to qualify for the match. I mean, it sounds perfectly reasonable, and it could very well be true, so we will move on to the next issue. Tickets to the new venue didn't even go on sale until a week or two before the fight, and when they did, it was only announced from the Social Gloves account, not Austin or Catherine's, which surely contributed to the insanely small crowd size. The event finally did take place in September, but it started much later than scheduled, and it only served to further annoy the few fans who had chosen to come. I'm fairly certain most of the attendants were either fans or, you know, maybe of the other fighters or maybe the YouTubers, or perhaps they were just there purely to film the disaster. I don't know. Those who stayed, though, until the end, were gifted with not only the rare sight of watching a crowd shrink as the main event grew closer, but of watching Austin McBroom finally lose. Since the fight started so much later than expected, it was almost midnight when the last match ended. Austin fought Gibbs's plan, and Gibbs knocked his sorry ass out. I researched these guys for two miserable weeks, and it was all worth it just to finally fully appreciate the satisfaction of that KO. Allegedly, Austin was taken to the hospital immediately after, and there was no sign of Catherine when he was escorted from the ring. I'd love confirmation as to whether their bills have been paid in full, but the information is sparse so far. Hopefully we'll get some updates in the near future, but for now, I'll have to end this with Austin's response to the fight. He essentially turned the loss into a win for his family by saying, "Everything happened exactly as it was meant to." Had he won, he would have continued pursuing boxing, which would have taken away from his family, and I mean, but now he has his priorities straight. Maybe getting knocked the fuck out inspired a life-changing epiphany. I mean, hell, I sincerely hope it did, but like, I feel like there's better odds to be had in alternative theories. After spending so much time watching these guys, it almost seems like their typical PR response. Jesus Christ. Conclusion. Ultimately, I think the Ace family is heading for one of two endings. Either they'll die the death of 1,000 cuts and slowly hemorrhage subscribers until they stop uploading, or they'll do something so terrible even the most diehard fans can't excuse it. I guess that's not fair. I mean, they could still technically turn things around and finally break that 20 million milestone. I mean, frankly, though, the odds are not really in their favor. But it's possible, so, you know. Seriously, though. What do you think? Saints or sinners? Or maybe they're just exactly like the rest of us and it's a little bit of both. It's true. All famous people are going to have haters, and sometimes it's difficult to tell which are legitimate and which are jealous. But other times, it's pretty painfully obvious. You be the judge of where this case lands. If you want to follow more on these guys, you should go check out Sloan and Etozi. They each posted several videos as these events unfolded, and once again, The Right Opinion and Cruel World Happy Mind have great documentary-length features. All right, well, that does it for this week. As always, thanks for hanging out. And don't forget to hit all those helpful buttons. Otherwise, you guys be safe, drink lots of water, take care of each other, and we'll catch you next time. And as always, don't do anything I wouldn't do.